We go next to the Middle East, or to events concerning the Middle East, because Irish and other troops involved in the United Nations Observer Mission on the Golan Heights have been involved in several tense situations over the past couple of days. Shots have been fired, there have been no injuries, and we're told that Irish soldiers are all safe and well. But the whole situation is leading both the government and the United Nations to reassess what exactly those troops are doing there, the mandate under which they operate, and whether that mission should indeed continue. Shortly, Irish troops are to be rotated with new soldiers from Ireland going out to join the mission. There are about 130 troops there at the moment. I rang the Minister for Defence and Agriculture, Simon Coveney, earlier this morning to get his assessment of the latest situation.
Well, first of all, clearly the last 3 days has been a period of significant tension. Essentially what has happened is that Ireland is involved in a UN mission to maintain what's called a demilitarized zone between Syria and Israel. That's been there since 1974. And the purpose of it is essentially to create a peaceful buffer strip, if you like, between two countries that in the past have been at war. And it's been a very successful mission. Unfortunately, in recent weeks, and in particular in recent days, that demilitarized zone has been dragged into a very nasty civil war in Syria that people read about and see on the television each week. And as part of that, UN posts have been attacked by Syrian rebels. There are currently 43 Fijian soldiers that are still captured and detained by those rebels, and there's an ongoing negotiation to try and secure their safe release. Two other UN posts that were that had Filipino troops in them, both had approximately 40 troops, were 48 hours ago surrounded by rebel militia, essentially. I'm very glad to say that the Irish contingent is part of that UN force, who are a mobile, well-armed contingent who get called in when there are flashpoints or difficult situations to handle. They went into one of those posts to secure their Filipino colleagues, and they successfully did that and got out again without any loss of life or injury. They did take fire on the way in and returned fire, but successfully completed that mission, and I think people should be very proud of the professionalism and courage of the Irish Defence Forces over the last few days.
Now, the assessment which is going to be carried out, and which I gather is going to be carried out in a United Nations context, of the role that this force and our troops in this UN force is playing. How long is that going to take? Who'll be involved?
Okay, well, there's a number of reviews already underway, and I've made it very clear that I'm not going to continue to commit Irish troops to this mission unless there's a very fundamental review of how it's going to operate, because clearly this is no longer a demilitarized zone. We need to get assurances from the UN and indeed, where possible, from Israel and Syria that we can operate to the mandate of this mission. Don't forget that these UN troops are relatively lightly armed. This is really about maintaining and patrolling an area that is and has been largely peaceful, as opposed to a war zone, which is what is happening now. There are two reviews going on. One review is already underway, actually on the ground in the Golan Heights, by the commanding officer there, who's an Indian officer. And our lead officer from Ireland is very much involved in that. And then, of course, there needs to be a broader review in New York, in UN headquarters, as to how they intend to take this mission forward, if they intend to take this mission forward, because the current mandate is simply not matched to the current conditions on the ground. Everyone knows that when you send peacekeepers to a part of the world like the Middle East, there is always risk. But certainly what has happened over the last 3 days is not an acceptable level of risk from my perspective, and I suspect the government's perspective either.
When will this? When will these reviews be complete, and when will the government make a decision about our UN troops' continued involvement in this particular mission?
Well, we're due to have a what's called a new rotation, whereby we would replace most of the troops there with new troops who have been trained up for this mission in Ireland. That's due to take place in the next month or so. And clearly, we will need to have a review before then, before we make those decisions. So this review needs to happen quickly. But don't forget, our primary focus for the moment, today, and if necessary for the next number of days, is to do everything we can as part of that mission to secure the release of our Fijian colleagues. Because this incident that has happened and is very unwelcome over the last number of days is not over yet. Certainly the Irish troops are safe and all accounted for. The Filipino troops that were under threat are also now safe, but we do have 43 soldiers that are effectively captured and kidnapped.
Well, exactly what can happen, what can any country, the Fijians, obviously it's their greatest concern, but directly or very closely it concerns us as well, these troops who are being held by this Al-Nusra Front, as it's known, in a situation where you can't ring a government and say let these people go because they're not being held by any government forces, and of course we know what's happening, the civil war in Syria. What can be done to try and bring about those soldiers' release?
Well, first of all, it's quite difficult because you know, people are talking about the Al-Nusra Front, which is essentially a Syrian offshoot of Al-Qaeda, but actually these groups are quite disparate, and you know, you find that that at different times there are different people leading those groups. So, for example, there has been a lot of negotiation to try and defuse a very, very tense situation two nights ago, where one of the UN posts was surrounded by nearly 300 very heavily armed opposition troops in Syria. But they were actually made up of different regional leaders, if you like. So it's quite difficult to know who you're actually negotiating with. But you know, this isn't new to the UN. There have been two incidents over the last year or so where soldiers have been detained or captured, and their release has been secured on both occasions through negotiation. So my understanding is that those negotiations have been going on now for some time, and they're continuing into today. But they're difficult negotiations. But there are trained negotiators who are doing that as we speak. But you're right. You're not negotiating with the government here. You're essentially negotiating with a local or regional warlord or tribal leader.
Does that mean, effectively, there's nothing you or the Minister for Foreign Affairs can do? It's up to the UN representatives on the ground and officers on the ground?
Well, I mean, what we can do is we can put a lot of pressure on the UN, which we have been doing. I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise to people that I've spent a lot of time on the phone, both to our ambassador in the UN, who's done a great job over the last few days, but also to others who are linked to what has been happening.
Is it likely or possible that the rotation, which is due to begin shortly, will be delayed while the government assesses the situation and waits the results of these reviews you've told us about?
Well, of course that's possible. I mean, you know, I'm not going to rush a decision here. I mean, if the Irish decide to pull out of this UNDOF mission, in my view, the mission will collapse. So I'm not going to make that decision lightly, but I'm certainly also not going to accept the status quo either. We need to get significant reassurance from the UN, and if possible from the Israeli and Syrian side, but this is really about the Syrian side, not the Israeli side, that we can operate a UN mission in relative safety. There are unacceptable levels of risk, if you like, attached to missions like this, and certainly at the moment the risk levels, given what's happened over the last 3 days, are not acceptable.
In that situation, which, as you say, is being assessed and which is obviously unstable, what can you say right now about the safety and the training and the equipment of our soldiers there and the position they find themselves in?
Well, first of all, can I say, I mean, my first priority is the safety of our troops. And they are very well trained. They are the best equipped troops in that UN mission by far. That is why they are in the mobile unit and get called in for very difficult operations. And I can tell you, the way in which they have performed in the last 3 days not only has ensured their own safety, but they have also assisted considerably in ensuring the safety of their colleagues as well.
A final question, Minister, about something that has happened not far away in another troubled area, that is the occupied territories, the West Bank, and a major settlement announced by Israel. Do you have anything to say about that?
Well, in the face of it, my response to that would be that this is not helpful. I think everybody in that region should be trying to provide some stability and focus on a lasting peace settlement, given what's happened in a very tragic way in Gaza over the last number of weeks. So the announcement of a big new settlement in the West Bank sounds to me to be very unhelpful in that regard, and will only inflame further tensions in the West Bank and in Gaza. But really, it's the first I've read of it this morning, so I don't want to comment beyond that.
And that's the Minister for Agriculture and Defence, Simon Coveney, speaking to me earlier this morning.